You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Folks, it's Saturday evening, January the 16th. We are live tonight, as we are every Saturday night here in the political cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'm going to make you a promise right now. I am going to wear you out tonight. We've got so much to cover and to talk with so many people. Before the next 3 hours are over, my head is spinning. In fact, it's such a busy night. Both Keith Alexander and Eddie the Bombardier Miller are taking the night off. We are going to alleviate some log jams. It is going to be a show in which not a single minute is wasted. And so let's just get right down to it. An explicitly pro-white robocall for Donald Trump is making national news this week in Iowa, and the two people responsible for it, Bill Johnson, chairman of the American Freedom Party, and Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, will be our featured guests this evening to give you the inside information. We're also going to announce all of the details about the 2016 American Renaissance Conference, which I have agreed to speak at. Both Bill Johnson and Jared Taylor tonight live on your radio. Bill will be coming up in the second hour, Jared in the third hour, respectively. But we've got a lot to get to before we can even think about having them on. I do want to read very quickly an email that I received actually after I got into the radio station tonight. It just came in, I just read it. Came in earlier today. Dear Mr. Edwards, I want to start by saying that I have learned more by listening to your program for 10 minutes than by listening to the mainstream media for 10 years. Considering that I often make my wife sit down for the entire 3 hours, that's a lot of learning. This drives my conservative friends nuts. You know the type. They're the Martin Luther King Republicans. Good guys, but they fundamentally misunderstand the real antagonists in geopolitics. But they are beginning to wake up too. I was very satisfied to change my contribution from some goofy nominal cause to your organization, and I hope to make it to this year's AMRIN conference. And that comes from a listener in Yonkers, New York. And speaking of emails, I've got a lot of emails to respond to as well. And to this gentleman whose email I just read, he will be getting an email back from me. I'm going to sit down this week. I'm going to chain myself in my office until I respond to a mountain of emails. And by the way, another quick administrative note, folks, before we get into the meat and potatoes of tonight's broadcast. For everyone who donated in the month of December, and so many of you did at the appropriate levels, all of those incentive gift packages will be sent out on Monday to each of you who contributed $100 or more last month. We had intended, of course, to send them out early last week, but we were delayed. My schedule, folks, there's been so much going on, I just couldn't even begin to recount it. But all of these packages have been addressed and labeled. They're going to be put on the trucks first thing Monday morning with delivery via USPS priority mail. So if you're expecting your incentive gift package from us, you should have them in hand before next week's live broadcast. Now, we could have gotten them out sooner. I have a couple of guys that come in and help me do these tasks like stuffing and stamping and the administrative work. But I'm so obsessive compulsive when it comes to my audience and when it comes to this radio program. I like to have my fingerprints on everything that this show does. And that includes things like sending these out. I took the time to write a short personal note in each of these gift packages that will be going out, make it personal, sign it, you know, hand-signed thank you letter. I took the time to do that. And you would say that that doesn't take a lot of time, but when you're doing it for, you know, over 100 people, it takes a lot of time. So I got those done. I wanted to do that. I didn't want to just throw it out there without a note of thanks, you know, something that came from the heart. So anyway, they are ready to go. They will go out. We're going to pay a little bit extra to get them out priority mail since we sat on them for so long. But it has been, I'll tell you what, it has been so busy, hasn't it, ladies and gentlemen, since Christmas? I mean, Christmas seems like it was a year ago already. We had such a fun December on the broadcast. Kind of laid back. We were listening to the Christmas music. It was all feel-good stuff. I mean, we tackled a lot of topics and had some great interviews. But It wasn't like this. Think of what's happened the last 3 weeks. This is our third show of the new year. 3 weeks ago, we were talking about how that picture of Eddie That was the AP, the Associated Press photo that was taken at our event last summer when we rallied 500 people at Nathan Bedford Forest Park in Memphis, how that got picked up and was put in over 100 newspapers, and they used that to illustrate an NBC article on the Ku Klux Klan, which, of course, we were talking about that. That was a big story that we were involved with. And then, of course, thanks to Sam Bushman being in Oregon and having the presence of mind to call in to us when we were live a couple of weeks ago on Saturday night, we were able to become the first live broadcast in the country, indeed the world, to interview someone who was an eyewitness or a participant in the rally that preceded the takeover of the wildlife refuge. So that was a huge story that we had an iron in the fire. And then now this thing with the robocalls, with Jared and Bill, what they've done. Major news, probably the biggest news story in the country on Monday. And I knew about that back in December. In fact, Bill Johnson, Bill emailed me on December 17th and asked me to have a voice in that call and to be one of the people who endorsed Donald Trump on that call. That we've had our producer produce that call. So, I mean, it was just a huge story. And no slight to Bill. I got the email right before Christmas and forgot about it. I'm ashamed to say, I guess. But anyway, we're going to have both Bill and Jared on tonight. So that's three huge national stories that have either been about us or incorporate our close and personal friends. And it's just amazing. I told Scoop, who helps me compile the top 10 list every year for the political cesspool, that if we don't slow down, we're going to fill up the top 10 in January. But it's been a great ride so far, and we're excited about it, and we're excited about tonight's show as well. I have such a good time with you, ladies and gentlemen. One of our dear friends and most loyal listeners and one of our biggest contributors up in Canada, you know, we had the big Powerball jackpot, right? A guy in Tennessee won it who lives about 20 minutes from me. I mean, I don't know him, of course, but he lives in Muntford, and we live in one of the other Memphis suburbs, and about 20 minutes from here, he hit the lottery. Well, I never play the lottery, but one of our good friends up in Canada said if he sent down $20, would I go and get a Powerball ticket? I said, yeah, you know, I'll do that for you. That's the least I can do for you. This is a guy that donates every quarter going back as far many years as I can remember. So I went and I got the Powerball tickets and I texted him the tickets, and I was sitting there whatever night that was, Wednesday night, and as God is my witness, I watched the numbers come back. I didn't get one number, or we didn't get one number on any line at all. I bought 7 lines, so that's what, I don't know, 50, 60 numbers. Not one number hit in any line. So needless to say, we didn't walk away with $1.5 billion. If we did walk away with $1.5 billion, I tell you what, we'd never have to fundraise again. Sam Bushman would never have to worry about life anymore. He doesn't worry about life anyway. He's got a great life. But he wouldn't have to worry about money anymore. And a lot of our other friends, including the people on this that are going to be appearing as our guests, the organizations we'd be taking care of, I would be a giver with that. I promise you that. Oh, just imagine the robocalls we could do with $1.5 billion. I tell you what, my friends and family would never have to worry again. But since we didn't win it, we'll probably have to fundraise again in the first quarter of this year coming up in March. But before we even start to sniff that time of year, you're going to get a great package in the mail from us. And thank you so much, everybody, again. Speaking of Christmas, you know, a lot of our regular contributors got a Christmas card from me. But if you didn't get a Christmas card, I posted a couple of Christmas pictures just yesterday from the Edwards family, from my family to yours. Go check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I think that covers all of the notes. Let's get down to brass tacks right after this. A busy show tonight. Great guest. Lots to cover. Let's do it together. Saddle up, everybody. Here we go.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, an ominous anniversary has come and gone last week, the 9th anniversary of the brutal black-on-white hate crime, double rape and murder of Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom just few hours east of here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Ken Daly of dailyken.com has the details. I'm going to read just a couple of excerpts from his very good story on this tragedy. Such a horrific, probably the most horrific crime, single crime that I'm aware of. On this day, 9 years ago, Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom were carjacked at gunpoint by Lamericus Slim Davidson, who forced them into his Knoxville, Tennessee house. There, Davidson, along with, you know, these names, Latalvis Cobbins and George Thomas, aided by Eric Dwayne Boyd and a woman, Vanessa Coleman, bound, gagged, and blindfolded Christopher and repeatedly sodomized him, making Channon watch. That was his girlfriend. After several hours, they shot his head, dragged him to a nearby railroad track, and shot him twice more. Then they poured gasoline on his body, set him on fire, and returned to the house. Over the next few days, they tortured Channon, binding her, beating her repeatedly, and raping her repeatedly in every imaginable way. Channon's genital injuries were so severe that medical examiners believe she was penetrated with an object, perhaps a chair leg. They first forced her to drink household cleaning products, presumably to destroy DNA evidence. After days of torture, they covered Channon's head with a trash bag and stuffed her, still alive, into a garbage can. She died slowly from suffocation as Vanessa Coleman ate breakfast a few feet away from her. This event, now known as the Knoxville Horror, was initially blacked out by the media, but as word of the crime leaked out, public outrage, including that from performer Charlie Daniels, forced news agency to begin coverage. In an interview, the head of the Knoxville branch of the NAACP defended the perpetrators, insisting that it was not a hate crime, that is, that it was not racially motivated. The Knoxville Horror is one of many examples of especially heinous black-on-white crimes involving kidnapping, torture, and murder. These types of murders are becoming more numerous, more brutal, and more brazen. I wonder if Channon Christian was able to say, "I can't breathe," as she suffered in that garbage can with the plastic trash bag wrapped around her head. Had she been able to, it wouldn't have mattered, for her pleas would have fallen on the deaf ears of subhuman creatures who did what they did only because Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom were white. Well, in that article, Ken Daly mentions the head of the NAACP who went on CNN to insist that the perpetrators were not acting out of hatred. He debated somebody in that CNN appearance that you may know and that I know well. Let's play the clip. We're going to roll a CNN clip here as soon as we can pull it up.
And joining me now to talk about this, the Reverend Ezra Mays, president of the Knoxville chapter of the NAACP. Thanks for being with us tonight. Also, James Edwards, who hosts the conservative radio talk show, The Political Cesspool. And thanks to you as well for being with us.
How's it going, Karen? Thank you for having me.
Well, James, I just want to ask you about the Knox County District Attorney General's office, the special counsel, saying there's nothing whatsoever that indicates any hate crime. He also goes on to say there are things that really coincidentally prove just the opposite. So why has this case become a rallying cry among the white supremacists, fringe groups, and even conservative columnists online?
Well, I can't necessarily speak for people that I don't have any association with, but I'll tell you this. I believe that probably the government officials in Knoxville are concerned with being labeled white supremacists for taking a conservative point of view on this issue. They probably don't want to defy the false gods of political correctness. What you have here, Karen, is a horribly wicked crime in which two young college students were carjacked, held captive, and raped before being murdered. Now, if that isn't a hate crime, then I don't know what is. If found guilty, these perpetrators should face swift justice, and the firing squad would be too lenient for them. But I'll promise you this, had the roles been reversed, and had the victims been black and the murderers white, this would have been the biggest news story in America on every nightly newscast back in February when this originally occurred.
Reverend Mays, do you agree with that, that if this had been reversed racially, we would have heard much more about it?
I beg to differ. I believe that had it been reversed racially, you would not have heard anything about it.
I believe
that this has received some national attention, and I do not believe that it was a race crime. I believe that it was a crime that was committed. I am not one to judge. I cannot say guilty or not guilty. I do say that we do feel for the families of those who have lost loved ones, and you cannot be human and not feel sympathetic for those who have lost loved ones. I do not agree with the crime, nor do I believe that it was a hate crime.
Karen, I believe there's not a doubt in anyone's mind in America that if the races in this instance had been reversed, that the NAACP would have been howling that this would have been classified as a hate crime. The NAACP never believes that brutal acts of violence committed by blacks against whites is motivated by racial hatred. And certainly, the NAACP couldn't provide America tonight with an equivalent random act of violence committed by blacks against other blacks that can compare to this massacre.
All right, well, listen, Reverend Mays, you were at this rally in Knoxville over the weekend. Apparently, some whites were holding up signs saying things like diversity equals death. Aryan groups online have been calling it a rally against genocide. Were you surprised to see, and there are some of the pictures, just how much vitriol there was when it comes to this story?
I'm sorry, repeat that question, please.
Were you surprised to see, if you look at the rally, you were there, you see the anger, I mean, the palpable anger and tension there. Were you surprised to see this?
I was not surprised to see the anger and tension. I was surprised to see the Nazi group come to town and to protest. But I was not surprised to see the anger and the tension. I was very angry about the crime that had taken place. I was not angry because it was a racial crime. Nevertheless, I was angry because two young people had been murdered, and that should make anyone angry. So I was not surprised by the anger. I was surprised by the racial slurs that took place during the protest. Everybody in the city clearly states it was not a racial crime. It is people outside of Cincinnati who are trying to make this a racial crime.
All right.
And put.
I'm sorry, we're out of time, but I wish I could let you have another word at it, James, but we are out of time. Thanks so much for both of you for your points of view, Reverend Ezra Mays as well as James Edwards.
I always enjoyed going on CNN. They were always very good to me, and they always introduced me appropriately as a conservative talk radio host instead of some of the other garbage that you read out there. But that was a night that I didn't enjoy going on because of the topic at hand, having to you don't want television coverage if it has to be a story like that gets you on. But They went to the right person, I guess you could say, and you don't get a lot of truth like that out there on national television news. But thankfully, there is a radio program like this where you will hear the truth every week without fail, and it will be delivered to the very best of our abilities. And it's just been a very incredible rise that we've experienced together, and that was certainly a day that I won't forget, going on there and squaring off against the NAACP spokesman. I guess they didn't feel as though he was holding up too well when I was booked to go on CNN that night. I was booked for two segments, and they only kept us, as you heard, for one. I had a lot more that I was saving up that wasn't able to get out there. But anyway, this isn't about me. This is about, of course, this, you know, think of all of the insanity, the nothingness that motivated these Black Lives Matter protests, especially at places like the University of Missouri. Now compare that to what happened to these two kids, these two white kids in Knoxville. You know, it doesn't even begin to compare. It doesn't even begin to compare, and yet you have these odious representatives from the NAACP saying that, of course, it wasn't a hate crime, but yet what happened at the University of Missouri? Less than nothing, and all of them were up marching and shouting and hooting and hollering, and it's just sick. It's just sick, but the truth is the antidote to a lot of things, and you're getting the truth here on the Political Cesspool, and I'm so happy for the breath that God has given me to help me deliver that message. When we come back, Sean Bergen, the first of three Dynamite guests tonight. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first class mail are only $60 a year. Go to toqonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's toqonline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, last week we really wanted to have our New York correspondent, Sean Bergen, on the show for a story that we took a lot of interest in out of New York, but with what was going on up in Oregon and us having a man on the ground who had been at the rally preceding the takeover, we went to all in on that story last week. Very passionate reporting, 2 hours. But now we're getting to Sean. And Sean, this one really almost defies belief if the tidbit of news notes that I've received from Scoop Stanton holds up to inspection. Tell us, in your words, what's going on up there.
Are you talking in reference to the attack that happened in Philadelphia?
Yes, Philadelphia. Philadelphia, okay. New York, for somebody from Tennessee, you know, it's close enough.
It's not too far away. It is up here in the, the greater, or not far from the greater New York metropolitan region, which does seem to be, it takes up a massive geographic area, to be sure. But
exactly.
We had another incident, an incident in Philadelphia where another cop was attacked. This time it was a self-proclaimed Islamic militant who said that he was inspired by ISIS, and he grabbed a gun and pumped 13 or 14 shots into a squad car that was being operated by Officer Edward Archer, a 30-year-old Philadelphia police officer. We're talking, the suspect in this case, of course, his name is Edward Archer, and he grabbed a gun and began unloading it into a squad car, not too unlike a shooting that I covered while working as a reporter here in New Jersey. Shot the officer, I believe, 13, 14 times. Or fired 13 or 14 shots, striking the officer three times. That cop got out of the car and chased down the suspect, Archer, and gunned him down. He survived his injuries. But what was very interesting was how quickly the Philadelphia mayor, in this case, came out and began to offer his expert opinion on what was and was not Islam. And that seemed to be his main... The main thrust of his remarks was that this was not Islam that we were talking about. When the gunman himself came out and said repeatedly that he was doing this because he was inspired by the likes of ISIS and engaged in Islamic terror.
When Scoop, and I did know it was Philadelphia, I was thinking about you, of course, Sean, being from New York, and anyway, it happens. But Philadelphia, and of course, this, my goodness, you get besieged like that, 13, 14 rounds fired at you, striking you three times, and you still have the wherewithal to get out of the car, return fire. That is just impeccable police training. I mean, that guy really had his wits about him under fire, literally under fire, and that's a true success story right there. But what Scoop wrote in up there in Philadelphia, so was this guy actually dressed in Muslim garb at the time? And he goes up and he's shouting at the cop, he tells the cops it's for ISIS, all of that, by his own admission, it was for ISIS, and still the Philadelphia mayor says that his religion, Islam, was not a factor.
That's it. So he said that he was very outspoken in the fact that he was following Allah and that he pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State. Now, I mean, there have been questions raised about this man's mental state. His mother claims that been hearing voices and what have you, and he could very well, be mentally ill, but I'm not sure that all that information was available to the mayor at that time, who, decided that he would just basically deny everything that the man said. And you know what? what's striking here is this rush to not only come, you know, to defend Islam and just say, well, you know, this is Islamic and this is us. We see the same thing happening over in Europe where, like, that becomes the issue. It's not the thing is, like, whether or not this is actually represents Islam. It's like, who cares? You know, I remember one time as a news reporter being on the streets of Hempstead, Long Island, and there was a children's birthday party got shot up in a housing project. And I remember the parents were outside, and they were arguing with whether or not that the gunman who went in and actually opened fire, whether that was gangster or not. And I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, I mean, you've just missed the point completely. Somebody came in and shot up a children's birthday party. Who cares whether or not it's gangster? You know, so, I mean, now we have, like, here in the United States coming out saying, you know, like, well, the main argue, you know, debate point here is whether or not this is Islam or this is Islam. Well, the guy who was doing the shooting came out and said that, yes, in fact, he is following Allah. And we see the same thing now happening over in Europe, where we have public officials and the media coming out to, you know, it seems their only concern is whether or not, you know, the great religion of peace is being defended or not after, you know, hundreds of women are assaulted in Cologne, Germany on New Year's
Eve. Sean, you're reading my notes here in the studio. I am so glad you segued into that because I was actually going to pull it into that direction after you stated the facts with regards to what took place in Philadelphia. You're so right, my friend. It just goes to show that this savagery is taking place, of course, throughout Europe. A headline on Breitbart, 1,000 brawl, rape, sexually assaulted, and committed theft at one German train station on New Year's Eve. One German train station had over 1,000 of these people brawling, raping, sexually assaulting, and committing other acts of crime. Rapes and sexual assaults were reported in every major German city on December 31st. Berlin, Cologne, Hamburg, Stuttgart, Dusseldorf. And one rape, one sexual assault, according to the Berlin Morning Post, took place in public in front of the Brandenburg Gate. Now, this has been a problem. The West has had a problem. Christian nations have had a problem with Islam and with Muslims going back as far as our recorded civilization will take us. And it will not change. And you have all of these politicians over there scared to death of being called whatever, a racist or Islamophobe or whatever. And they would rather not be called that than let their citizenry be savaged. And the more you have over here, the more America will become to look like Europe. I think Donald Trump's position is very sound to cut it off. And I think if he is elected president, I think it's almost a formality now that he'll win the Republican nomination. Perhaps we will see other leaders in other nations take a little more courage. And perhaps we believe we'll have more elected here in the United States to the Senate, to Congress, and to other offices across the land. Because you can defy political correctness and win. And Donald Trump may be a game changer in this regard, Sean.
Well, yeah, that's you know, you're dead on there, James. I mean, and the fact of the matter is that these political leaders, they're so, and we're talking about, you know, the left here. It's, you know, they have the left over in Europe, it probably even more pronounced than it is here in the United States, where, you know, socialism has taken root throughout much of it. But, you know, these people, like you said, they're so mortified that somebody might point the racist finger at them that they're willing to go to such lengths to see. I mean, there are people getting raped now. You know, I mean, this is not confined just to Germany. I mean, you ticked off there half a dozen cities just in Germany. But, I mean, there's been a rape explosion in Sweden. I mean, what's happened in
Stockholm,
where you have you know, a 50% increase in the number of rapes just, you know, just inside of a few years.
The rape statistics in Sweden are almost unfathomable. I mean, we could throw out numbers, but it would just, your eyes would glaze over because they're almost unbelievable. But that's what's going on. I think Sweden is now officially the rape capital of Europe. And of course, I mean, France, what's going on in France, and, you know, how many people have been raped in England? You know, you had the British Empire. The sun at one point never set on the British Empire. Now they can't even control the streets of London. And this is where we're at because of political correctness.
Yeah, and the whole country, the whole culture, the whole society is undermined from within. It is, it's basically, it's a Trojan horse. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this country who would love to say, well, you know, Islam is this and Islam is that. These are people who don't know anything about Islam. When you go to the people who claim to be experts in Islam, they will tell all these Americans and liberal European lefties just how wrong they are and how stupid they are and how foolish they are that they allow this to go right under their. I mean, they're literally being taken advantage of here. And yes, you're right. I believe that Trump has been very bold and very outspoken in this country just about the dangers associated. And certainly he's not the first one to have come out with this, but he's willing to go places and say things that most political candidates have been terrified of going to. And every time they hit upon this immigration issue, they get the backing of the American public overwhelmingly.
Oh, absolutely. And you see it in Eastern Europe, too. I think in Hungary and in the Czech Republic, they're beginning to make great strides in terms of putting their people first. You know, listen, Trump's dead on. You got to stop it. Now, they'll trot out a three-year-old orphan or some elderly lady. But these aren't the people that are coming over, by and large. And frankly, as sad as that is, we all have hearts. We're all human. But my first obligation is to protect my family, and I'm not going to play Russian roulette with immigration. We're just going to cut it all off. Sean, thank you so much for your expertise and your professionalism and for being part of the show tonight. We can't wait to talk to you again.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at herbalhealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA olive leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA elderberry power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit herbalhealer.com and click on the fall winter specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. Herbalhealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we're waiting on Scoop Stanton to call in. Now, Scoop just texted, although we are having trouble with the call-in line tonight. So, if Scoop is listening, I'm going to give out this number on the air because I don't think that'll hurt anything. It is a call-in line. It's a VIP line to the show. So, Scoop, if you're getting this, we'll use the entire broadcast as our personal walkie-talkie. 801-492-6910. Now, don't you go calling that, ladies and gentlemen. That's a VIP line reserved just for guests. But while we're waiting on Scoop to call in, there is something that I wanted to bring up with Sean Bergen. And there he is. Well, I will get to that. You know, Sean, first of all, I just want to say this. Sean Bergen is a pro's pro. And the show is always better when we have him on. I love having his professionalism. And, well, I mean, we're all professionals here, but it's just he does a great job. And he's an asset to the program. And really, I can thank Scoop Stanton for even bringing him to us, because it was Scoop. He earned that nickname, ladies and gentlemen. It was Scoop who first told me about the Sean Bergen incident when he was fired as a television news reporter up in the New York, New Jersey area for daring to tell some racial, inconvenient racial truths on the air. He went off script and said what he had to say, and then that was that. And then we had him on and started having him on more often, and then he became a correspondent. But anyway, there was something I wanted to say to Sean. We ran out of time. I'll save it for later. It's a doozy, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to believe this, but I don't want to take into Scoop's time. You know, Scoop, who we met when he was in the Navy, stationed in Rota, Spain. He became a regular listener of the broadcast and started calling in regularly, so we adopted him also. And as a former seaman, if I can say that word, as a former member of the Navy, Scoop took an interest with what happened over in Iran a couple of days ago. So tell us what's on your mind, Scoop.
Well, good evening, James, and the rest of the Cesspool family. Well, I was following this situation in Iran very, very closely about the 10 sailors and two boats that seized.
Good.
Now, me being a former engineer in the U.S. Navy, I have a lot of background experience. And that's why I'm raising the Bravo Sierra flag. Those former squids know what Bravo Sierra flag means. But anyways, on Tuesday, two small shallow water U.S. Navy patrol boats were allegedly in Iranian waters in the Persian Gulf. The boats were attached to the USS Harry Truman, which is an aircraft carrier. The boats were surrounded by the Iranian Coast Guard. Nine men and one woman were taken hostage, and the boats were seized without a shot being fired. The sailors were paraded on Iranian television, and the officer in charge said that they were being treated great, even though the sailors were held at gunpoint and blindfolded. The sailors and the boats were released the next day. During this crisis, President Obama gave his last State of the Union speech. Not only did he not mention the sailors in captivity, but before and after the speech, he was shucking and jiving and working the room like somebody in a club, not caring one bit about these men and women overseas. We were first told that the boats experienced mechanical difficulties. I say hogwash. The Navy has a system in place called the Maintenance and Material Management System, or 3M system. And within that system is the Preventive Maintenance System, or the PMS. This ensures that Navy's equipment is in tip-top shape, and believe me, it's perfect to a fault, as sailors fix things until they break. And then those small boats are engine men, people who study engines, diesel engines, HVAC and different other things. And they have engine men on these boats in case the small diesel engine breaks down and they can fix them. As for the boats, we know next to nothing about these things. Probably because they're brand new, they got some secret stuff on it that nobody wants to need to know about it. So then the Pentagon later said that these boats went through Iranian waters. Again, Bravo Sierra. And that battle group is lots of radar with high frequency beaming all over the place that people watch what's in the air and what's on the water. And they have a bunch of nerds in Central Control Center, or CIC, on every one of these boats. Somebody should have said something, or correct, somebody should have saw something and said something. And now the officer in charge of the 10 people, who is the highest ranking officer, must have forgot Article 5 of the Military Code of Conduct, which prohibits making oral or written statements, as the young lieutenant did that. But I wasn't there, and I'm not going to be an armchair quarterback because my first priority is the safety of those sailors and get the hell out of Dodge. And at the end, the sailors were released, and the boats were also released, and John Kerry patted himself on the back. Yet, don't forget, today, Iran's sanctions were lifted. So it was in Iran's best interest to get these guys, get these boats out of Iran. Now, here's a question for you folks. Why are we still in the Persian Gulf?
Yes.
We're not fighting a war in Iraq. They have their own military, and they shot us in the back. We spent $1 trillion freeing these people, and then to rebuild their country, we helped them set up, and where did the contracts go to? China. Number two, oil, the price of crude oil is in a free fall because Saudi Arabia is mad at Iran. So oil is free fall, and the price of gasoline is starting to fall. And number three, other than, you know, the usual Palestinian and Israel crisis, and now that in Saudi Arabia and Iran, they're starting to rattle the sabers. There's really nothing going on. But we got all these battle groups sitting in the Persian Gulf, burning all this gas, doing all those operations for what? James, back to you.
Scoop, great commentary tonight. I figured you would take an interest in that. Again, being a former member of the United States Navy, as you know, most of the people on our staff have been members of the armed forces. I think myself and Keith are the only two who haven't at some point. Eddie was Army. Winston was Navy. Bill wasn't. But anyway, Art was Navy. Scoop's Navy. Well, I guess it's three people in the Navy and then an Armyman.
I was talking to Sean Bergen. He was Navy, too.
I did not know that. Wow. We just need to get a boat and sail out and do the show every Saturday. Y'all feel right at home, I tell you what. So between the four Navy enlisted and Eddie, the one Army, who would win that fight?
I don't know. It'd be pretty close.
Well, here's the thing. Of course, Iran, they caught the tiger by the tail. They're going to flex and preen and all that. But, you know, I take a little more nuanced stand on it. It really was much ado about nothing, ultimately, because they did get released. And who knows if they were in the waters or whatever. But, again, as you bring up, why were we over there in the first place? But this whole thing about Iran being just so evil and this, that, and the other. I mean, I'm sure they're not saints, but for God's sake, neither is America. You know, this whole thing where America, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're the good guys just because we're America. I mean, that's just silly. And you look at what, you know, America's legacy going back to the war between the states and the savagery. The savagery of what Sherman did to the civilian population in the South. And then you move forward to Germany and just the firebombing of civilian populations like Dresden. I mean, those were war crimes if there ever was such a thing. And, you know, you talk about Germany, talk about World War II. You know, we're supposed to, you know, be led to believe that that was the most evil regime in all of history. First of all, it's foolish to take wartime propaganda and swallow it hook, line, and sinker anyway. But even if, and I say it's an if because I look at how the wartime propaganda against the South still perpetuates to this day, and I know so much of that is false. I guess I'm an agnostic on a lot of the charges in World War II. I wasn't there, and it's not something that I think about every day. But even if it was all true, what they say that Germany did during those years, even if it was all true, it's just a drop in the bucket to what America has done. You want to talk about a real Holocaust? America has butchered its own children, many, many more millions than what they claim Hitler did. So, you know, are we good? Not really. I mean, our government isn't. Our people are. A lot of our people are. They're silly and they're ignorant and they're misguided, but a lot of our people are very good here in America. But America itself, the government, hasn't been good going back for 150 years. So there's that. And so with regards to Iran, are they as bad as they are made out to be? Probably not. Are they good? Probably not. But yeah, again, why are we even over there in their business anyway? So that's my take on it. Of course, I was glad to see that those sailors were released and came home. And, of course, we could have done without that. But anytime I see something like this and the media piles on, I just think, you know what? America doesn't have the right to cast judgment on any government the way we have conducted ourselves going back a long, long time. And then, of course, that's not even getting into this whole, you know, anti-white, hate-white Americans thing that the government media does. That's a whole other ballgame. But anyway, Scoop, I didn't mean to digress there, and I hope I didn't chase a rabbit too far down the trail. But back to you for the closing word.
Well, all right. Back to the final State of the Union. During the self-serving speech for the Commander-in-Chief, he said America's got the greatest, mightiest, best, well-trained, technology-advanced stadium, military. But why would the damn boats break down? They're brand-new boats. Why are they breaking down, number one? And number two, why is he just get the military that you got people with 10 years of active duty, honorable service, you're giving him the heave-ho? And meanwhile, we still got old planes, old tanks, old boats, no boats, nothing. But we're doing circles, burning gas and nuclear fission in the Persian Gulf for what? I mean, North Korea, they're testing the bomb too, but we're not up there at their back door.
Scoop, one of your best segments in a while. This has been a good one tonight, and I appreciate everything you brought to the show. And you're right. Yeah, why aren't we in North Korea, you know, occupying that? Well, they don't have, I guess, as much to gain from our occupation there. Thank you, Scoop. We'll talk to you next week. Always a pleasure, my friend. Bill Johnson coming up next, and Jared Taylor in the third hour. Still a long way to go tonight.